Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely awesome day today. Of course, we need to be praying for everybody and supporting anybody that we can out in Texas right now. If you guys have seen, they've had this tropical depression parked on top of them again, flooding Houston. Seems to be a regular occurrence now that we go from pretty much natural disaster to natural disaster to natural disaster. And whether or not these are completely and totally just uncontrolled natural disasters, or if there's some type of weather modification in them, you know, who even knows anymore? But it's very strange to me that it always seems like the southern states are constantly being hit. Texas and Florida being some of the most staunchest states, constantly being nailed with these over and over and over again. But regardless, be praying for everybody out there. They have a lot of flooding and a lot of water again as this storm's been parking over their dead.
You know, Austin, you know, whether it's weather modification or them messing with weather modification causing other storms to develop in other areas, whether it's the methane release, the heating of the global temperatures, a lot of people are denying that the Earth is heating up. I'm telling you, the Earth is heating up. Now, is it a natural occurring of the thing? I don't know, but it is heating up. I know it. You know, we've seen it in Florida over the last 10, 15 years. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And it's just, you know, we have a lot of people argue about it. You know, G. Edgar Griffin said there's no such thing as global warming. You've got people like Dane Whittington who gets into the big arguments with G. Edgar Griffin because of this, because Dane believes it's because of the methane expulsion, because of the, you know, Arctic methane expulsion, and also because of the chemtrails causing this massive amount of heat in the lower atmosphere. I'll be honest with you. I know it's getting hotter. Austin, you know it's getting hotter, and the weather patterns are screwed up. They're doing stuff to us. I mean, there's no way we have hurricanes that hit the brakes as soon as they get to the coast of Florida and turn around and go the other direction. Of course, prayer will do that, but I mean, that's an oddity for those kind of things to happen. And, you know, it just frustrates me that, you know, we're in the middle of this, almost like William Guy Carr said, pawns in the game. You know, yesterday, well, I apologize for the signal strength yesterday. It got really messed up in the middle of the show. So I'm going to cover a couple of the stories that I covered yesterday because I had a lot of people say, please cover that. We couldn't understand what you were saying. You were pixelating so bad. So I'm going to do that. But it looks like Benjamin Netanyahu has been defeated. And I really hope he doesn't come up with some kind of career criminal move in order to basically get himself, you know, to weasel and squirrel his way back in. I really hope he doesn't do that. By the way, they're saying now the primary reasons that he was defeated is that the American-Israeli Mutual Defense Treaty was a bad idea, and the Jews in Israel basically said they didn't want that. It was a mutual U.S.-Israel defense treaty that was being pushed by Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump. Now you think, what does that mean? It says, well, if, for example, if Iran attacked Israel, it would be countered not only by Israel but the full fourth force of the United States. The problem with that is the Israelis couldn't just go ahead and do anything they wanted to without getting approval from the United States. And it's a big mess. And so Benjamin Netanyahu was pushing this thing with Donald Trump. You know, I mean, it's just so weird. Why in the world are we going to have an individual defense treaty, which has never been ratified, by the way, it was being talked about. And I think the people in Israel had had enough. And I believe that this false flag attack that Israel did in Saudi Arabia, which I really believe that's what it was, it's my opinion, with those oil fields over there that were the refineries, I believe that blew back up in Benjamin Netanyahu's face too. I think the people in Israel, the Jews, just had enough. And, you know, the Jews are pretty smart folks, and you know, and they've had enough of all of this stuff, and they don't want World War III, regardless of what the Shabbat people want as far as bringing in the Third Temple and trying to destroy the planet with the Antichrist. There are Jews over there who don't want it. So perhaps, you know, some of their elections aren't as rigged as our elections are. But we've got to understand something, you know, the Israelis, they spy constantly, and this is under Benjamin Netanyahu, which is a complete liar. It said that there's an article here, I want to read this to you, it says, Israel spies and spies and spies. It says, former CIA counterterrorism specialist Philip Rowdy comments on Israel's history of spying on his closest ally and patron, the U.S., including stealing military equipment. Saw that happen with the atomic weapons and the American government's habit of covering it over for the Jewish state. It's also happened with the shooting of the warship back, you know, way back when, you know, back in the 60s. And he goes, here we go again. Israel is caught red-handed spying against the United States, and everyone in Congress is silent. as are nearly everyone in the mainstream media, which is, of course, Rothschild control, which failed to even report the story. And the federal government itself, quick to persecute a Russian woman who tried to join the NRA, concedes that the White House and Justice Department have done absolutely nothing to either rebuke or punish the Israeli perpetrators. One senior intelligence official commented that, "I'm not aware of any accountability at all." So, you know, we have to ask ourselves this. And the reason this is happening is because of AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, which is one of the most powerful, you know, lobbying groups in the world, probably the most powerful one in the United States. And it's sad, Austin, that so many people in Congress are basically tied into this so deeply that when Israel does something, you can't talk about it. And I have Christian friends that are the same way. You can't talk about Israel. You can't say anything about Israel. And I'm like, why can't I say anything about Israel? It's verboten. It's verboten. You can't talk about Israel. And I'm like, but they're doing this stuff. It's not okay. It doesn't matter. There's a Palestinian genocide going on. It doesn't matter. We don't care. They could start World War III. They can kill the whole population of the planet. They can wipe out everything. They can wipe off the earth. They can get rid of all of us. And it's okay. We can't comment about it. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And I'm telling you what's wrong with them. It's the Scofield Bible. And the pastors in the pulpit wearing their panties, prancing around like Penelope, poking fun at real men. I could go on and on and on, who want to talk about stuff like this and bring this stuff up. And so we've got to get cracking down on the pulpit, and we got to start talking about this stuff. And like I told you guys, I don't care if it's Israel, if it's Germany, if it's Russia, if it's China, if it's England. If we can't talk about it in the news media and we can't discuss it in detail and look at both sides of this thing and be neutral on it, what the heck? That's censorship. Now, speaking of censorship, I've had a lot of people ask me about Google. And let me explain to you what Google's doing right now for the Chinese Communist Party. They're actually developing a covert version of Google search. At the request of the Chinese government, Google would link users' mobile phone numbers to the search terms they've used. It sounds familiar. They've been doing this in the United States for years and years. In China, this is to help the government crack down on dissidents and activists and become more efficient overall at censoring. This revelation can't be a surprise because they've been doing this for years and years and years. Google would create a server log that will remember your browser and your configuration, IP address, and a unique cookie planted on your device by Google. The link you click on from the result is logged, and Google will keep a record of this website you visit from there. If you don't delete the cookie, which you guys need to be deleting your cookies all the time, it takes 30 years for that cookie to expire off your machine, essentially logging your entire digital presence. From there, it's easy for Google to link your search history to your phone number via any number of Google services which you signed up for, like Gmail, YouTube, Google Play, any of this. Whether your phone's an iPhone or an Android. If they can't get your number for their services, Google has partnerships with Facebook, Twitter, and other tech platforms to exchange that information with them. If that doesn't work, Google turns to its hundreds of thousands of third-party partners and data brokers like Axiom to buy your phone number from the offline databases. Remember I told you guys a few weeks ago I had to unfreeze my credit in order to get a truck. I had to buy another truck. And what ended up happening is I had my PIN number, and that wasn't good enough for Experian. And they made me answer all of these questions. I mean, all of this stuff, like, what credit cards did you own 30 years ago? You know, what are all your and I finally said, what are you guys doing? I've got a PIN number. And they said, we're not going to allow you to unfreeze your credit. We're not going to allow you to have access to your credit. And they basically had to go through three reps, and finally they give me a phone number. And finally I told the guy, I said, you're data mining me. You are data mining me to get more personal information on me because my credit is frozen and you can't sell my information. So you want to sell it this way and go around the corner with it. That's exactly what they do, guys. Think about this for this thing. This is what they do. Thanks to Edward Snowden, we now know that all Google servers are taped by intelligence agencies in the United States and the Five Eyes Alliance countries of the UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. He showed us that. The U.S. National Security Agency has a copy of your search history tied back to your phone number forever in their data centers. If you sign up for Gmail, you didn't just give up your phone number, but some precious information unique to your own biology. Ever since Gmail came into existence, Google has been actively scanning your emails for keywords to expose you to more ads in your inbox. But Google also used your private emails to study your handwriting style, your writing style, and the way you type. Really? Similar to how you walk is unique as a person. The way you hit keys on your keyboard and your writing style also belongs to you only. They data mine you for all that. This allows Google to identify you across your whole internet presence. Even if you create pseudonyms, they know your typing speed and how you type. It's nuts. This is how they do it. In 2017, Google promised to stop active scanning of Gmail messages, but it was revealed that Google continues to let third-party app developers that use Gmail to scan their private emails. These third parties are even allowed to further share your emails to their partners, thus multiplying the amounts of copies. If you ever deleted your email or even your entire Gmail account, Google visually fulfills your request, but residual copies are kept in their offline backup systems indefinitely, and Google doesn't go after the third-party developers to delete their copies of your emails. Your private emails thus remain copied and stored in the data centers across the globe with no security and no oversight. Google then uses your browsing history not only to target you with ads, but to identify you as well. Google only needs your snippets of your browsing record to be able to determine identities of users on the web. Google tracks your browsing history through AdSense, DoubleClick, and various other advertising and tracking scripts that belong to the company. Google Plus shares plugins on websites are used to track users even if they're logged off or never even use Google, similar to how Facebook tracks browsing history through like and share plugins. Where cookies don't work, Google uses your unique ID number that is assigned to every Android device by default. Guys, these guys are like a monster organization with tentacles that don't stop. It's unbelievable. This year's a big milestone for Google. 40% of global ad spending expected to take place online, spending TV advertising by $40 billion, outspending TV advertising by $40 billion. Google achieved dominance in digital advertising thanks to their focus. Now, guys, this is what Austin was talking about the other day, that Google is bringing in hundreds of billions of dollars a year. Where's it coming from? We told you. It's selling your information. Google's able to attract advertisers thanks to their ability to profile records of your entire activity on the web by partnering with MasterCard and other credit card companies. Google to now has the access to roughly 70% of credit and debit card transactions in the United States. I mean, this is unbelievable. Digital profiles in Google's databases contain very detailed information about its users, likes, preferences, interests, and private thoughts. Guys, let me give you some advice. Don't use Google. Use DuckDuckGoGo if you're going to use another search engine. Get Google off your machines. Turn them off. I did that a long, long time ago. You don't need to be tracked by what you do. I mean, think about it. Do you really want your entire search history be able to be pulled up by anybody at any time and basically publicized? Yeah, what if you went to a right-wing reactionary website? And all of a sudden now they're going to say, oh, no, he's a right-wing reactionary. And they're going to say he's a bad person. Why? Because of your search history. This is like... Austin, this is like surveillance. This is like 1984 on steroids. I mean, it's unbelievable this is happening. What do you think, bud? How do you respond to this?
Well, the irony of this is, you know, years ago, you and I and, you know, a few other people in the alternative media really kind of started bringing a lot of this stuff to light and talking about it. And so many people, oh, no, Google doesn't do that. They have no reason to do that. Even to this day, I still hear people occasionally, oh, why would they track you? There's no reason to track you. There's no reason to monitor anything you do. They're not gonna do all that. What do they think about you? It's the money. It's always about the money. Everything with these guys is always about the money. They want to be able to own you, control you, and bank off you until your dying breath. This is what they do. This is how they do it. And they've continued to grow this model because it's been so effective. And then you have to look at not just the monetary gain that they get from it, the control that they get from it. Like Ted said, at any point in time, if they want to go in and put a case together on you, or they want to put some type of idea on you, or something that they want to throw out there, it's super easy to do so. If they want to plant something on you, as far as even in your mind, an idea, it's super easy to do so. Once you start understanding how people talk, who they talk to, what they look at online, what they read, at what time they read, everywhere they go on the entire online activity, it's pretty easy to build a profile on somebody. You gotta think about that. It's not very difficult to build a profile on somebody. You can start seeing who's higher risk, who's lower risk, who has more, you know, benign activity online, who has more, as Dad said, right-wing activity online, whose stance is on guns, whose stance is on abortion. Remember I told you guys yesterday, this whole thing with O'Rourke making that comment about, we're going to take your AK and AR-15s. I believe solely that that was used as a beta test to basically see how the general population was going to respond to it online. If you know what Ted just said, and you know that Google monitors everything on top of all these other companies out there that are listening and watching everything, do you not think they don't build algorithms on this? They don't have keyword hits? They don't have basically search hits when certain things come up? When all this information passes through their servers, it's correlated, and they see who says what said it, who, how many times somebody said it. This is what they're doing right now. And so slowly but surely, they're going to build, in my opinion, an even more effective social credit score in this country. A lot of people go, that's kind of far-fetched. That's not really far-fetched. We already know China's built a full-blown totalitarian credit score in their country. Now, the United States has already started to have one of its own, except by the spy tech, the big tech companies. We've talked about that in detail, as Dad just said. So what we see now is it's almost like they've used the beta test from the credit score in China to see even further how far they can continue to take this thing. So when they're ready to roll it out, or they're ready to go in and start seizing firearms, or they're ready to go in and start red flagging. It's funny, as I talked to somebody the other day, they were going on and on and on about that comment with O'Rourke. And I said, and he's like, well, we're never going to turn in our guns. I'm never going to go into a, basically go sell my guns back. I'm going to tell them I don't have any guns. I'm going to tell them that I don't even, you know, own any guns. I lost them in a boating accident. You know, this and that, this and that. And I said, well, that's the best thing. I said, plausible deniability is the best. I said, never, never voluntarily turn in your guns. I said, but here's the kicker. And this is why we can absolutely not allow a federal red flag gun law to be instituted in this country, like Bubble Boy Rubio is trying to do so hard with his Senate bill. It doesn't matter if you lost your guns in a boating accident, or you lost your guns in the backyard under the ground, or whatever plausible deniability you want to throw out there. I get that. All it takes is for somebody somewhere at some time to call in and say, we think he's a danger to himself or others, and he may or may not have a firearm. That's all the evidence they need to get a red flag gun law. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, guys. I understand this. Now that they've already started the predictive crime, predictive, you know, basically crime, as far as the Minority Report aspect that they've started to do in many states now, where they go in and they put in somebody's entire background, their arrest background, their driving background, their, you know, police charge background, all the stuff they have, and they go in and they do predictive programming on it, and they do full-blown pre-crime data, and they say, this individual has a 92% chance that he's going to commit a crime sometime in the next 12 months or less. They have that programming now. They have full-blown pre-crime units now. That's what they do. So if we know that system's already in place and we know it's already being used, what possibly makes you think that if a federal red flag gun law is basically issued and that's put into law, that they are not slowly going to rewrite the law and add amendments on it and allow pre-crimes data scanning to start implementing red flag gun laws? We're that far away. If they implement red flag gun laws, it will only be a matter of years before they start doing pre-crime arrest. And they come in at 4 a.m. with their 5-man or 10-man or 15-man fire team, and they knock down your door and they said, hey, we got a red flag search warrant here. We're here to see all your firearms, all your ammunition. Everything's getting seized. And you go, what the heck are you guys even doing in my house right now? I haven't committed a crime. And they say, nope, but we've done a pre-crime analysis on you, and there's a 90% chance that you're going to commit a crime sometime in the near future, and we know you have firearms because we've gone in and we've monitored your 4473 form that your local store got with you buying an AR-15 2 years ago through ATF's background check and FBI background check, and we're going in and we're seizing all of your weapons now and your firearms and your ammunition, everything, and you have to go to court and you have to prove to the judge in the next 14 days that you are okay and you're not going to commit a crime. And, of course, you get an attorney, and you throw $10,000 on a retainer, and you go to court, and then all of a sudden the judge looks at you, and he goes, sir, I see you're here today. I see you have an attorney. And the problem is I'm looking at the algorithms from our pre-crime data unit that is always right. And they're saying you're going to commit a crime with a firearm, 90% chance. Because of these numbers, I'm inclined to no longer allow you to have your firearms. You can appeal this the next year. And if you prove you haven't committed a crime in the next year, we'll consider giving you your firearms back. And he slams the gavel and you walk out with your head down and you have no idea what just happened. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker with the red flag gun laws. At any point in time during that year period, if you get caught with a simple possession of a firearm or even ammunition, you're immediately charged with felony possession and you go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You now are fighting felony charges in court. And then the kicker, even if you get an attorney and you fight those charges and you somehow get them dropped, when you go to appeal that 1 year point to get your firearms back, they're going to come in and say, sir, you were arrested on felony gun charges 6 months ago. You got them dismissed, but you still got charged. There's absolutely no way we're giving you your firearms back. You can appeal again in 1 year. Slams the gavel, and you look at him and go, this is tyranny. This is what happens. American population isn't going to turn our firearms in, guys. I'm not turning my guns, and Dad's not. I know about 100 million Americans aren't going to turn their firearms in. They're not going to sell them. They're not going to do anything with them. However, if you have enough people and enough troops and enough individuals that can slowly start red flagging all the high-risk people to start off with, all the real, true, red-blooded American conservative constitutionalists in this country, and you slowly start doing that under the guise of the law, it's the red flag gun law, it's for your protection, you will slowly start to disarm American population and boil them in a boiling pot until they will not even realize what has happened until it's too late. That is the topic we still need to be talking about, is the red flag gun laws and not allowing them to ever, ever come to a federal level in this country, Dad.
You know, Austin, well said. I mean, people need to understand. I mean, they're not going to stop doing this. They're not going to stop it. They can't. There's too much stuff going on right now, you know, to try to bring communism into the United States. When we have the deep state, right, basically the group of people now that, you know, are the employees of the federal government who've been appointed or put into positions that they've been in for 15, 20, 30 years, and we have these communist agitators, infiltrators in these positions, and they can pass laws and statutes without you voting on them and make you a criminal. The thing that I want to emphasize here is this. If they take your guns and you get caught having a gun within that year, and now that you're being charged with a felony, you've never committed a crime, ever. You haven't done anything. You haven't charged with anything, but now you're a felon.
Nope.
I mean, this is something that we need to think through for a second. All of a sudden, now you're fighting felony charges. It means if you go out and get, you may get fired. Your boss may say, you can't work here anymore. You're a convicted felon. But I've been working for you for 20 years. It doesn't matter. You got to go. We have a policy here. We don't hire convicted felons. And you're like, well, I don't think that's fair. And your boss goes, it doesn't make any difference. Well, our insurance policy or whatever can't cover you now. You're a convicted felon. And you're like, but I haven't done anything. You know, I had an ex-wife or a neighbor who was agitated at me or whatever say that I was threatening them and I didn't even do anything. I don't even know these people. I haven't seen them in years. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. You're a convicted felon now. You've been charged with a felony. And you're like, but I didn't. And then here's the other thing. The $10,000 it takes to pay an attorney just to get your guns back for the first year doesn't include another $20,000 or $30,000 you got to pay to a doggone attorney to get the felony stuff, make it go away. It's like Donald Trump. He's going to turn in his tax returns now. And I told you guys a couple weeks ago, he's not going to turn his tax returns in. He'll put it in court. He'll get a judge to sign, whatever, and it's not going to be turned in. For some reason, he's hiding something on his tax returns, probably because he doesn't make as much money as he thinks that we all think that he does. Kind of like Jeffrey Epstein was the billionaire. Now we know he wasn't a billionaire. He was a Rothschild cutout. I mean, we don't even know what Trump's real income is. Do we? Does anybody know? I'm just asking you guys a question. How many of you really know what his income is? Why won't he return? Why won't he put out his tax returns? And now, I told you, he's not going to release his tax returns. And he's got it in court. Another lawsuit. And he learned all of this stuff through Roy Cohn. And I talked about this yesterday. And you know, and I'm just going to go over that really quick. Got a lot of that pixelated real bad. It says Roy Cohn and Donald Trump, the mentor and protege. And I posted that on my website, on the Health Masters news cycle, so you guys can read it. And you need to understand, this guy was just a flagrant homosexual. And I mean, Trump was his like best friend for years and years and years and years. I asked that question yesterday. Why would a homosexual hang out with a straight guy? I've never seen that before. Cohn and Donald Trump, I'm reading right from the article, continued a close personal and professional relationship up until Cohn's death at 59 years of age from AIDS. To the end, Cohn refused publicly to acknowledge that he was gay, even though he went to these gay clubs all the time, and he even worked against gay causes, which doesn't make any sense to me, such as civil rights ordinance in New York City. Early on, Cohn had pegged Trump as a promising young man. Yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it? The lawyer assisted Trump in many of his real estate ventures and his prenuptial agreement with his first wife. Cohn's lobbying of the Reagan administration officials in the 1980s may have been a key factor in the appointment of Marianne Barry, Trump's sister, to a federal judgeship. And Trump and Cohn dined together often. And they hobnobbed and went clubbing together at Studio 54. And they talked on the phone constantly. And he's the one who basically, Cohn introduced him to Roger Stone, the wife swapper. I mean, this is some weird stuff. And you think to yourself, why would a gay guy hang out with a straight guy? Like I said yesterday, I'm not saying that Trump's gay. I'm not going to say that. But I just want to know what the heck was all that about. That's some weird stuff. I mean, I've known some gay guys in the past. I didn't want to hang out with them. They didn't want to hang out with me. You know, you start talking about your wife and how much you love the Lord and you love your children. They get kind of uncomfortable with all that. And there was an article that just came out from Deadline Magazine, and it said, "Where's My Roy Cohn? Review, documentary on a ruthless New York lawyer shows his chilling influence from beyond the grave." And it talks about what he did with Donald Trump. And it says, ruthless. This is how they summarize Roy Cohn. Ruthless, unethical, corrupt, reckless, quintessential fixer, arrogant, demagogue, unscrupulous, notorious, evil, liar. Those are just a few of the words thrown about interviews in this pertinent documentary to describe the subject of Roy Cohn. Now, guys, who wants to be remembered like that? I mean, can you know, jeez. And this is Donald Trump's best friend? This is some weird stuff, guys. And I just want to make people realize that this was his mentor. Trump was his protege. And we need to understand, guys, that the Bible again says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. It's very important that we understand who these guys are and how corrupt they are and how they influence our political system, even to this day, even being dead for all of these years. By the way, I've got to talk about one other thing here, Austin. The plumbing of the financial system is under pressure. The Fed is providing another massive liquidity injection and potentially a permanent repo and QE. What that means is this. I talked about it some yesterday. They're out of cash. The same thing happened in 2007. Remember when the big insurance company went under back in 2007, it couldn't meet its obligations to pay out its liabilities, and they had to, you know, basically went under. The reason there was bailed back out, the reason they have to do all of this stuff, guys, is that they have these equities out there and derivatives out there that there's no cash for. They're just gambling debts, what they are. It says the plumbing of the U.S. financial system is under pressure as liquidity dries up, that's the M1 money supply, forcing the New York Federal Reserve to provide massive liquidity again and potentially maybe forced to move to a permanent repo operations and renewed quantitative easing. The New York Fed appears to be set to do another $75 billion again today. It follows massive liquidity injections of the same size yesterday and Wednesday and $53 billion on Tuesday. I mean, we're looking at almost $300 billion pushed into the system to keep it from collapsing. The Fed is preparing a temporary liquidity injection for a fourth straight day, and there are concerns that increased signs of severe stress in the funding markets in the U.S. may force the Fed to permanently increase the reserves by electronically creating dollars in order to buy more U.S. treasuries. The Fed is deploying this remedy for the first time since 2007, since the last global financial crisis, and there are signs that we may be on the verge of another crisis. Gold prices are marginally higher today, and for the week will appear headed for their first weekly gain in 4 weeks. Supported by concerns about the U.S. financial system, a softer dollar, the tinderbox that is the Middle East, and trader wars that are impacting global economic growth. I've posted this on the Health Masters news site. Guys, it's so important that we understand that everything is basically being built on funny money. It's all being built on credit and leverage. It's like taking a credit card to pay off another 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 credit card until you have 100 credit cards that you're juggling every single month. And the only way you can pay off that credit card this month is to get another credit card. That's the U.S. financial system. That's what derivatives are. And guys, it's something they did in 2007 and that are continuing to do now. And guys, be prepared for another big drop off. I mean, it's close. I mean, the housing market's going to collapse again. Everything's going to collapse again, just like it did in 2007. But this time, because of the massive amount of quantitative easing they've done, this is going to be a much bigger drop. The only reason I told you yesterday that gold's not $20,000 an ounce is because of the naked shorts they're putting in the precious metals market just to try to hide what's going on with the U.S. dollar. Some scary stuff, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, no, you nailed it. I mean, when you see this, I mean, when you start looking at $75 billion a day, I mean, that they're injecting them, when you start looking at this, I saw another article, too, talking about the same thing. And so, I mean, the amount of money that they come up with, that they start injecting into this, into the markets, is insane. And, I mean, this is what everybody has to understand. This is why it's continually staying propped up. I mean, it's not because we have this growing economy right now. We have a growing debt load right now. And the only reason the housing market is even doing anything still down in Florida is because the mortgage rates are so doggone low down here right now. I mean, you can get a 15-year mortgage down here in Florida right now for pushing, you know, around 3%, which, I mean, is realistically, I mean, cheap money for a mortgage considering how long of a note it is. And so this is what everybody needs to realize. This whole deck of cards right now, and I've been calling it for a while, 2020 is going to be a big year. I think a lot of stuff is going to happen in 2020. I think everybody needs to have their big boy pants on, and everybody needs to have all their powder dry and all their mags loaded in 2020. And I'm not saying that jokingly. I think 2020 is going to be a very, very serious year. There's a reason why the UN set forth the Agenda 2020 back almost, what was it, 30 years ago, early 90s. They put forward a UN Agenda 2020, and now it's basically the Agenda 2030 now. You have the Agenda 21, the Agenda 2021. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's been playing in a role for a long time now with the United Nations as far as with these climate deals. And as Dad said, it's definitely getting hotter. There's no question about that. But why is it getting hotter? Is it naturally getting hotter? Is it because there's so much doggone manipulation with the weather and we got spraying chemtrails all over the globe every single day? I mean, I still would love to know, who's funding all that jet fuel? Question. Who's paying for the pilots? Who's paying for the aircraft maintenance? When you watch jets, big, gigantic, jumbo jets fly back and forth across the state of Florida, never landing, fly all the way out past one coast, fly all the way past out the other coast, blowing out huge plumes the entire time that never dissipate, and go back and forth and crisscross the state like a checkerboard, literally a checkerboard. I've sat out there before. So is that. We've sat out there for, you know, 2-3 hours just chilling out, and the weather's halfway decent down here, and you watch them, and they just build an entire chemtrail grid across the entire state of Florida. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for that jet fuel? Who's paying for the plane? Who's paying for the pilot? I mean, obviously there was a pretty specific reason why they were doing that, and it's ironic to me that we didn't start seeing a lot of this heat occur, this massive heating down here in Florida, until the chemtrail garbage started the early 2000s down here in Florida. It's ironic to me, we, you know, never really saw a lot of that. Never really saw this massive heat, and we see it now. And like Dad said, the silver and gold market. I had a buddy of mine call me up the other day. He's basically got a decent amount of cash together. He pulled some money that he had invested in one thing, and he's looking at it, and he goes, well, what's a really safe haven to put money into right now? I said, well, if you want to go really safe, you can put your money in, you know, like a money market account, you know, pay like 2%. I said, you can do something like that. I said, but me personally, I said, I'd spread it across gold, silver, and platinum. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, you can do all four. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, but gold and silver, I mean, gold's still, what, $17, $18 an ounce right now? It's dirt cheap. I mean, when you look at the level of inflation that we've seen since the late 2000s and what silver was floating around the same time and what it is now, silver is so far suppressed. And exactly what Dad was talking about, I saw the same another article they were discussing in detail on what JP Morgan was doing. I just want to address it a little bit further in detail on what he said. Chris Trutz, who is one of the traders who worked with the Bear Stearns Precious Metal Trading and joined J.P. Morgan after the crisis, he told a federal judge under oath last month the type of behavior as far as shorting the market with naked shorts was openly encouraged on J.P. Morgan's trading desk for over a decade. He pleaded guilty to federal charges on August 20th. Another trader said during a plea hearing that he was instructed, listen to this, guys, this is what they're doing. They were instructed to bid up the price of futures contracts by placing them, then canceling them, then bidding orders, the literal definition of spoofing, that they never intended to fill. So they were putting the price on bids on futures to run the price of the futures up. Then they were canceling those bids. Then they were putting more bids in to basically push it up further and never even filled them. He goes on to say, and I quote, I was instructed that if a client wished to sell futures, I would simultaneously place both bids and offers with the intent of canceling the bids prior to execution. Edmonds said the purpose was to falsely transmit liquidity. Listen to this, guys. This is how shady these guys are over there. This is what they're up to. He said that the purpose was to falsely transmit liquidity and price information in order to deceive other market participants about the supply and demand so they would trade against the orders that J.P. Morgan wanted to execute. He goes on to say, and I quote, we created market activity which artificially drove the sale price up and induced other market participants to purchase at an inflated price, and then we would cancel our purchase and sell the basically rest of the contracts. So they were intentionally running the prices up, running the prices down, making money on both ends while everybody was completely confused on why the market basically was going up and down, and it looked like there was so much liquidity in the market. This is what they did, and now there's massive amount of federal indictments, and I hope these guys go to prison for doing this. But the irony about it is, too, nobody's even discussed the fact that Deutsche Bank, HSBC, and UBS have all agreed to pay, I think it's roughly almost $50 million in civil claims now, settlements, to the CFTC for doing the exact same thing. They just weren't doing it to the level that J.P. Morgan was doing it on. So if all these guys are getting fined for doing it, J.P. Morgan guys are getting indicted for doing it, do you not think this is absolutely rampant all across the market? This is something that they're doing and making billions of dollars, literally billions of dollars off this by shorting the market and completely spoofing the market. This is why gold and silver are so suppressed right now. This is why platinum is, what, $900 an ounce. Platinum is rarer than gold. Platinum is used almost solely in industrial uses with catalytic converters, DPFs, solar panels, phones, all this stuff. Platinum's a full industrial metal that's completely, it's almost depleted every single year in usage. It is rarer than gold, yet it's floating around $900 an ounce right now. Explain that one to me. And then when the market actually opened up and it went free for all, it ran up to $2,200 an ounce in a period of like 6 months when they weren't suppressing it anymore. This is what we're seeing in the market. And now the Fed, and they're injecting $75 billion a day into this repo operation right now, funding the markets. This shows you that we are right on the precipice of this. And the only reason, this is the housing market is what they're trying to say, the economy is doing great, the housing market is still booming down here in Florida. It's because everybody's moving to Florida, by the way. Everybody wants to move to Florida right now. I'm telling you right now, we need to start having applications for people to move to Florida. And I don't mean that arrogantly. I mean that strategically, because we don't have any more room down here. Dad knows I'm right. Well, you're up there in North Carolina. You got it made up there. I'm down here in Florida. I'm like shoulder to shoulder with everybody on I-4. It's an hour and a half to go 20 miles on your GPS. You look it up and you're like, why am I even here? Why am I even here right now? I would much rather be somewhere else besides I-4. This is what we're dealing with down here in Florida. That's the only reason, the housing right. market. So that's my rant for a minute on the whole thing, Dad.
You're funny, awesome, but you're right. I had enough of it too. That's why I'm up here most of the time. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I mean, it used to take 35 minutes to go to the Mall of the Millennia, and now it takes an hour and a half to 3 hours, depending upon if you get caught in traffic and you have an accident. If you have an accident on I-4, forget it. Park the car, turn off the ignition, open the windows, have the mosquitoes bite you. and you're in a sauna with gnats and mosquitoes, and you're like, this is just unbelievable. And you try to go around them on the right to get the next exit. The troopers pull you over, and they give you a ticket for basically reckless driving, careless driving, or whatever. So you're stuck there. So, yeah, it's interesting to me, you know, in Florida now, and it's because the baby boomers. The baby boomers want to leave the northern states where it's freezing all the time and move to Florida. And it's so funny, the Floridians are moving up to North Carolina because they're tired of the doggone crap in Florida and the hot summers. And so they're doing what I did. And so it's interesting to me. One more thing, I had Terrence just send me a text, and I had forgotten about this, and this is so important. You know, I'm tied together with you guys. I told you that Freemasonry and the Kabbalah were tied together, linked. They're locked together. This is why the Freemasons in the early 1800s did everything they could to push the rebuilding of the Third Temple. They're the ones who pushed Zionism. They're the ones who pushed, you know, the Scofield Bible. They're the ones who pushed all of this stuff, because the Freemasons are the ones who basically want to rebuild the temple. They're part of that group. Now, we have to understand something. This is a group of people that are very, very powerful. They work together, and they have for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, one thing we need to realize is this. There's a group of Jewish Freemasons. It's called B'nai B'rith, and they're the worldwide Jewish Masonry Lodge. They're the head guys. They're based out of New York, and this is one of the biggest groups in the world that's pushing the rebuilding of the Third Temple. Roy Cohen, his father, was the head of B'nai B'rith. He was head of the world Freemasonry, worldwide. You got to understand how this works. This is who his father was. And I'm telling you, Trump's a Freemason. You guys say, well, you can't prove it. Oh, I can't prove that. You're right. But I'm telling you, he's a Freemason. And he's pushing all of these things. And there's a reason they put him in a position of power like they have. And so it's very, very important to know who our leaders are and what they're doing. The other day, I read you the thing that Brad sent me about what people are saying about how, you know, with you and Barack Obama's vice president again, and all this crazy stuff the Q people believe. And you know, and it's true. We have to understand who Donald Trump really, really, really is. You know, and I really think that he may have, and I'm going to say this again, when we first put him in, he may have really thought he could change things and not be succumbed by, how you want to say that, seduced by, whatever you want to call it, by this group of people in D.C. that run the swamp. I mean, he has put more council foreign members, relation in his staff at his White House than anybody else that I know of in recent history. He has more ex-lobbyists than anybody else. There's no draining the swamp. But again, he goes to these giant rallies, and he brings the people, and he brings his sheeple in, and these rallies are pretty doggone seductive. You come in there, and they, oh, it's the Donald Trump, it's a president of the United States speaking to we the people. Oh, it's the Donald. No, he's not. He's maintaining his act. He's maintaining what he's being told to do. He's maintaining his base. While he turns around and pushes red flag gun laws, which he's multiply talked about, enhanced background checks, which he's multiply talked about, his daughter, the other Shabbatist, you know, basically, you know, is running around, you know, lobbying Congress. I'm going to say something that's going to be kind of weird to you guys. I really think there's a high probability that Kushner is being groomed to be the Antichrist. You think, what the heck, Ted? Yeah, I think this whole thing's gotten weird, guys. I personally think that boy is satanically possessed. I think you lock him up in a little room for a few hours, you'll see something come out of him that you don't want to see. And you think, come on, Ted, you really saying this? Yeah, I just said it, didn't I? Something's wrong with this whole group, man. That these guys are messed up. I mean, this is a doomsday cult they belong to. You know, I mean, Ivanka, you know, his daughter had to renounce Jesus Christ, renounce the virgin birth, to become a Jew. I mean, what the heck? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, what's going on with all this? Why are we supporting these people that act like this and do these crazy things and spy on us? So I don't know. The whole thing is just absolutely ludicrous to me that this stuff is going on and on and on and on, and it never, ever seems to end. It's just absolutely crazy. I mean, even in the Republicans in Ohio right now and in Florida are pushing gun control bills. This is under Donald Trump's supervision. While Republicans on Capitol Hill are waiting to see what, if any, gun control proposals President Trump will get behind, several Republican state lawmakers in Ohio and Florida are busy pushing a few gun control measures of their own. And Columbus State Senator Peggy Lerner is co-sponsoring at least anti-gun bills that will get a look at by the state's government. Senate Bill 182, introduced by State Council Cecil Thomas, Cincinnati, they want to would raise the penalty for buying guns illegally. I mean, and all this stuff is going on. I've got this posted on the website. So all of this stuff is just going and going and going. And little by little, it's like, they chip away at our rights, at our gun ownership. So finally we look around at all the people who were the key leaders in the Second Amendment strong movement basically say, they're gone. They're all gone. They've all had their guns seized. And one thing I've noticed about these guys, whenever they go to jail or prison, when they come out, they were so abused and so ridiculed in prison that very few of these guys that were really out there talking about stuff continue to do that when they get out of jail. They're just happy to get out of jail. James Traficant is the perfect example. I mean, he was so vocal, so out there, Congressman Traficant, and then he got out, and he would talk every once in a while, but it wasn't like it was before he went to prison. I mean, I think going to prison for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years has a tendency to put a big quash down on what you want to say and what you want to do, because you don't want to go back there again. So, guys, that's the ultimate deterrent. So they start locking you up and taking you away and telling you that now you're a convicted felon because you had a bottle of mace with you or whatever. I mean, I don't know what the world's going to happen with these brave red flag gun laws. But, I mean, think about it for a minute. You know, just this past last year, it made the news again. This guy was laying in his bed. He basically was just chilling out, sleeping, and his roommate had said the guy may have been smoking pot earlier that day, and he ends up basically, the cop come in, and they basically sick their canine on him in the middle of the house because he didn't answer the door, and the canine almost rips his throat out. I mean, he was sleeping, and the canine jumps on him and grabs him by the throat. I mean, and now this guy's suing this group that did this to him, and it's about time. This kind of stuff's not okay. Another guy up in Minneapolis, he's walking out of his doggone Bible study, and somebody drives by and shoots him with a random shooter. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's happening all over the United States because we're losing our rights. The guy comes out of a church and gets shot after a Bible study. Now, this is what they're doing. They're trying to do all of this stuff, guys, because it's what they do. It's this deep state that I talked about a few minutes ago. By the way, Chinese scientists have developed a handheld sonic weapon now for crowd control, which basically puts a frequency through you that disrupts your bodily functions. Isn't that interesting? It's specifically trained towards the eyes and the types of functions in the body to basically make you listen and makes you be in control. You say, well, gosh, they shouldn't do that. Guys, we've already done that. With active dispersal units, we already have all that. It says it can cause dizziness, headaches, vomiting, bowel spasms, involuntary defecation, organ damage, and heart attacks. Whoa. Yeah, guess what, guys? We know what sound does. We've known it since the 40s, and we now use it in our active denial systems, and we don't want to believe that they do that, but this is what they do. By the way, a bunch of people are going to Area 51 now for a bunch of rallies. They're planning on marching on the base. We'll see how that plays out. I remember Eisenhower had enough of it. He basically was going to send the army in. Oh, no. Then he warns about the military-industrial complex. But right now, Lincoln County up there, officials are looking over a pair of Storm Area 51 festivals. They still don't know what to expect. The 50,000 people are supposed to be arriving. It's called Alien Stock, like Woodstock, but it's Alien Stock. And Rachel begins Thursday night and runs through Saturday, while Area 51 Base Camp in HECO occurs Friday and Saturday with a solid number of expected attendees still up in the air. They've been promoting this for the last couple of months to go over there in March. They want to go see a real alien. And you know what, guys? I told you, I believe in all these demons and things. I don't have a problem with all the alien stuff. I mean, I think some of it gets overblown and overhyped, and I think a lot of people are out there, they start making money promoting stuff, and they start making stuff up. I believe that. But this whole thing about these extraterrestrial things that have been on our planet for a long, long time, guys, I believe that. I mean, the Bible tells us it's there. The Bible tells us it's real. The Bible tells us it's real. You know, we need to realize it's real. One more thing. You know, the capital of California, Sacramento, it's collapsing into chaos, feces, drug addiction, and homeless. And, of course, it's all being run by the Democrats. Even places like San Francisco and Los Angeles, they're a mess. I mean, human feces, urine, trash, drug needles reportedly piling up across the city at exponential rate. Yeah, what the heck? What about the 130,000 homeless people in total in California? California leads the pack in societal failure and economic collapse. Why is it? Because they got a bunch of communists out there running the place. And they want to do Cloward and Piven. They want to collapse California. They want to collapse the United States. They want to continue to do everything they can do to destroy everything that resembles the America that we knew as a child. Guys, I love you. I had the opportunity this morning to pray for you. It means so much to me when you guys are, you know, supporting us. It's so funny. I had a Karen call me up or email me the other day. She goes, I was trying to donate some money to Health Masters to the Ted Nossum Grower Radio Show, and we don't really know how to do that because there's no donate button on the webpage. And I thought, oh, wow, I'll check. And sure enough, there wasn't. So we are having that fixed right now. And you guys say, well, why would you do that? You know, we buy our vitamins from you. Here's why. Number one, a lot of people want to support the show. And they live in other countries, and they don't want to have to pay the freight bills to send the stuff to other countries. Even though we ship a lot of stuff across the planet, they don't want to do that because of financial reasons. So when they can come in every month and, you know, give us a few dollars, $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever they want to do, you know, it really creates a group of people that are really supporting the show actively. And I want to thank you for that. So I told our web designer to go ahead and make that happen. Because a lot of you guys really, really want to be part of that. Guys, I love you. I really do. I prayed for you this morning. You guys are family to me. You know, I had Terry was here for the last couple of days. She was left yesterday, and she's a former federal prosecutor. Worked in the court system for 33 years. And she's a really good friend, and she's a missionary now. And she listens to our show all over the world when she's in Cambodia or when she's in the Philippines. And she said it's like a lifeline to her. She listens to it every day because, you know, you get a voice of reasoning. Hopefully we can provide that, you know, to you guys as far as the real things that are happening on this planet without being censored. So, guys, when I have people like Terry listening all over the world and all you other guys listening in Australia and Russia and China and the UK right now, thank you for your support. You guys mean the world for me, and thank you for your prayers. I really mean that. Awesome. I'll let you go ahead and close up the show. Austin will be on with Hagman tonight. You guys make sure you listen to that. He'll be on for 90 minutes. So I appreciate it. You guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you for your support. I'll continue praying for you. You guys are family. Love you guys.
Absolutely. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. Pfizer's at it again with testing vaccines on healthy pregnant women in a nationwide trial that has now started. The study is testing vaccines on pregnant women who are expecting healthy babies and attempt to cure RSV, which is respiratory syncytial virus, a relatively mild cold-like illness that clears up in a week or two, which is ironic. They're trying to make a vaccine for that, too. You guys have noticed back when the original kind of inception of vaccines and they started putting stuff together, you know, it was for usually major ailments. And there was just a few of them that they were really looking at and they really worked on. When they found out how lucrative that industry was and how much money you could make in that industry and how, in most cases, you could use the entire United States population as test guinea pigs with making a massive amount of money, they started adding more and more and more and more and more vaccines to the schedule. And then, once Reagan legalized it as far as and made it law, the vaccine manufacturers were completely and totally exempt from any prosecution, any litigation, any court, any suing, any lawsuits, whatever. Completely, just carte blanche immunity. It completely jumped the vaccine rate through the roof, which is ironic because why in the world do we need vaccines for things like chickenpox or like for this now, RSV, which is essentially a virus that causes you to have, makes you have a cold when you're a baby for like a week or two. It's like no deaths associated with it whatsoever. But of course, the clinical trials calling for 650 women between the ages of 18 and 49 with a gestational age between 24 and 36 weeks. They basically want to inject them and measure their immune system response to study this vaccine and evaluate how it will play a role in allegedly protecting the baby's health. Participants in the study will be subjected to one of five vaccines containing either one of four investigational RSV vaccines or placebo. And so what's crazy out there is the four investigation vaccines injected into the test subjects will either be an average RSV dose with or without aluminum hydroxide or a higher RSV dose with or without aluminum hydroxide. So they're not only testing an experimental vaccine, they're also testing them with higher amounts of aluminum to see what the immune response is going to be on these healthy pregnant women. I would say that's going to be a big hard no for me or anybody else that I'm friends with if I hear hear about that going around. You absolutely have no legitimate purpose to be testing vaccines with high amounts of aluminum and experimental vaccines for a mild cold-like illness, is what the vaccine's even for, on healthy pregnant women. You got to be living under a rock if you think that is something that is healthy to do. And it's crazy, is even 20, 25 years ago, it was like forbidden to test vaccines on pregnant women. It was just didn't do it. And now they're going more and more and more down the line of lunacy with this weird, weird stuff they're wanting to test, because people are submitting to it, and more people are becoming more brainwashed and becoming more guinea pigs and wanting to try this stuff out on healthy women to see what it's going to do to them and their unborn children. Absolutely insane to me. Also, too, in other news, be sure to check out the product of the week, the Magnesium Body Balm. Got a big old fresh batch in stock. It's on sale right now for over 20% off as product of the week. So be sure to check that out if you're on the website. And again, be sure to check out the other specials. I think we're going to end up having the HR5 coupon active. I haven't even released it yet, but I'm going to end up activating it here in the next few minutes for the Hagmann Show tonight. But I wanted to give you guys the special update first before anybody else hears it. The HR5 Hagmann Report 5, 5% off store wide on the website at healthmasters.com right now. So be sure to take advantage of that on the website today. And also, too, there's lots of other different specials and protocols and stuff we're doing. And please also be sure to vote for product of the week. I love getting all the votes, I love getting all the feedback. A lot more people are getting involved in it now and getting on there and voting for what they want to see win. And, you know, we don't sell any of it. We don't track any of it. There's none of that as far as trying to see what's happening with it. But I like to see it just from an organic standpoint, how many customers like specific products and what their favorite products are. So that way, you know, when we're going to do another big sale on something, or we have a big chance to purchase maybe more amount of inventory, I can look in and say, hey, you know what? I know the customers really like this product. I know they're really, really happy with this product. They really want to try this one out. Let's go ahead and run a special on it. And so, again, thank you for your support. Thank you for basically just your feedback. I get a lot of emails lately. And please, if you guys have an issue with the website, or there's something going on, if there's something that you're not comfortable with, or there's something, please give us a call. I'm getting people that put comments and order comments now, basically stating something about wanting to know this and wanting to know that. The order comments are primarily there to comment on an order, whether it be a shipping, whether it be a gate number, whether it be just a thank you for this and that. I didn't put the order comments there so people could basically ask 5 or 6 questions about website or passwords and stuff like that on there. That's not the way we handle those. So if you have an issue, we're one of the only companies you can still call and we pick up the phone right away. Please utilize that. I mean, we work really hard to make sure we answer the phones the best we can, and we're always on the phones all the time. Very few companies do that anymore. They put you through half a dozen prompts. So if you have an issue, please utilize it and give us a call and say, hey, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that, can you help me? And we'll do everything we can to help you guys out. Thank you for the support. I'll talk to you guys again tonight on the Hagmann Report. And after that, have an awesome, safe, blessed weekend. You guys stay sharp. We'll talk to you later.